beautiful, as always. Need to see if I can remember how to do this now. I just want to share a little thing before we go to explain where I am, where I came to. And I can say this now, when COVID began way back then, that was a very distressing time for everyone. But what I'll say here and let you into a secret, the energy and effort that was spent by the leadership here at Moss Vale was second to none. The grafting, the work, really what most folks saw was a presentation of an online service on Sunday. That was just touching it. Day-to-day phone calls, visitations, soups, sandwiches, different stuff happening all the time. And the effort and the energy that was put in was second to none. And I absolutely adore the leadership here, and I adore this church at Moss Vale. I'm grateful for everything and everyone that contributed during that period. But what happened for me was, about February of this year, that caught up with me in a big, big way. And I was exhausted. There was nothing in the tank at all. I was just running on empty on a week-to-week basis. And I was just relying on the Holy Spirit. And thankfully, the Holy Spirit does not fail. So when I needed that filling, the filling came. But basically, has your brain ever been fried? That kind of brain fry. Nothing was clear. Nothing was making sense to me. So when our trip to America finally came on board, I was chomping at the bit to get on that plane and go. Now, what normally happens for me is this. When I go to America for, let's say, a three-week period, it takes me about 7 or 8 days to declutter, to empty myself out. And I always take my Bible, and I always take an empty book, an empty journal, and some thoughts to ponder. Normally, nothing happens. Day one, in the morning of our arrival, Gail brought my coffee out to me, as she did every single morning I was there, hallelujah, like an angel with wings soaring through the sky. And the coffee was lovely as well. And she said, "You're writing already." And the Lord was depositing stuff very quickly, and it was offending me. God was offending me by what I was writing down on the paper, because it wasn't my concept of what I thought a certain thing was. And I want to start today, if I may, very humbly, a little short series that I believe that we're all going to gain from if we take this on board. You see, what we're discovering, regardless of age, is this. We are all on a journey. We're on a massive journey. I don't know about you, but I'm still seeking new heights, as the hymn writer said. I'm seeking new depths of understanding. I still crave wisdom and understanding, as a proverb says. I want a deeper revelation of who God is, who Jesus is. I want a clearer understanding of who I am and what God still wants to do with my life. Now, if you know anything about or been in church long enough, you will know there are recurrent themes that individuals, pastors, preachers, evangelists often return to. These are topics that we should never tire of hearing. If you've been at Moss Vale for long enough, you will know for certain two things in my life, two things found only in Jesus that make me shout, freedom and joy. And I will shout them till I can shout no longer. In fact, when I'm in the coffin, you'll hear me shouting. And you'll fright your life. Only then will some of you really believe. That's what it might take. But what was God depositing in me? Interesting. Was one of the greatest pathways for me to discovering freedom and joy was actually found in worship. And all we need to know about worship, stay with me this morning, don't be offended, is not found on a CD. Neither is it found on your Spotify playlist, although they can be catalysts and wonderful things, but actually found in the Word of God. It's all directly from the Word of God. There are so many facets to worship that we'll probably only touch on them over the next few weeks or so. And I want to encourage you off from the start here to study what I'm about to say for yourself and begin to see worship as a spiritual discipline. Begin to see worship as a spiritual discipline that every single one of us need to build our spiritual muscles. We need to strengthen our arms. We need to tone and tune our voices. We need to get into the mindset of being not just a disciple of Jesus Christ, but a worshiper also. This is the word the Lord was sharing with me. And then he asked me, Hugh, for all these years, why do you worship? Scripture says one day everyone will bow before God and worship him as Lord. And he said to me, and I was horrified, why have you not started? Why have you not started? One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every, we just sung it, one day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day, we're waiting for one day when the day is now. We're waiting for a future event when the event is here. Christ with us, Christ in our presence. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. Paul echoes again in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, I want to say some things to the church today that the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart. And maybe you know all this stuff, but maybe you don't. But I want to ask you this. Did you know that Jesus or God gets something when we worship? He does. He does. Did you know, here's another one for you. Did you know that other people get something when we worship? Because they do. And did you know that you get something when you worship? Because you do. So this is one of the things that I've been really pondering in my heart. And here is something I'm going to say to you. And you might think, oh, I'm that already. Well, I would call you to challenge you on this and actually ask yourself, are you? So I'm going to say it this way. I need you to be worshippers. I need you to be worshippers, but you need me to be a worshipper too. It's a two-way street. Now, I know many, many times we have defined what worship is and worship isn't, but maybe you haven't heard this, or maybe we just need to be reminded of what the Holy Spirit is saying. So before we figure out why we benefit from each other's worship, let's just be clear what worship actually constitutes. Now, we are going to talk a lot more about these things in the coming weeks, but for now, what I really need someone to understand is this, that worship is far, far, far more than singing songs. Are you hearing this? Don't be offended by that. I'm going to say something else that the Lord laid in my heart. Worship, what a wonderful job you guys did today. But worship is not the musical portion of the service. Oh, Pastor, now you're offending. Worship is not an activity we come down and do on Sunday. Are you hearing this? Though there are things that we do that are acts of worship, like the giving of our tithes and the giving of our offerings. Years ago, if you were here many, many years ago at Mosvale, we went through the teachings of the book, The Purpose-Driven Life book. And I would still recommend that to individuals today. And Pastor Rick Warren in the Purpose Driven Life book defines worship as surrender. It's a life completely and totally surrendered to God. Another definition is this: worship is taking everything that we have and laying it at God's feet. Wow. Now, the Hebrew word, I'm going to offend somebody else, I can tell. The Hebrew word for worship, which you will know, is the word shaka. And if you know anything about the heavenly language, you will often understand and hear to this day, when people begin to speak in the heavenly language, it will often begin with shaka. Shakaroboso, shakarabasika radasatai, shakaramanduku raba sihelebe shihonda. It will often happen through that channel because that is a forum or an expression of worship. What does it mean? It means to depress. It means to bow down. It means to fall flat. It is a picture of direct humility before a mighty God. So with worship, surrendering to God is actually discovering it's a choice that you and I make so that we serve God not just with our bodies physically, we serve Him with our minds. We serve Him with our attitudes. We choose to serve God so our heart's attitude towards God is one of complete and total surrender before the living God. Understand this. Worship can encompass our spiritual, our physical, our social, our financial lives. Jesus says in Mark chapter 12, love the Lord your God. Amen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This act of worship is an all-in thing. It's an all-in thing. And our love and the expression of this should be all-encompassing. Listen to me, church, today. There shouldn't be any boundaries to how we live our surrendered lives before God. So hear this today. Worshipping God is the act of living in total surrender to God. Do you hear that? Total surrender. I'll say this to you. Worship is not an event as much as an action. I want you to start thinking about something here today. I don't come to church to worship. I take my worship to church. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? I'm not showing up to worship, I'm bringing it in with me. I'm bringing it through the doors of the church. Don't come to church to worship. Bring your worship service with you through the doors. We're already in a state or place or attitude of worship. Listen, how do we do this? Well, listen, hey, go crazy in your imagination because everything we do in life should be worship. This is what God's been saying to me. Every part of my life should be a life that is completely surrendered to His will and to His ways. What I do at home should be worship. If you want your children to be saved, What you do in that home life should be a model of a life surrendered to God, a life of worship. What we do at work should be worship. How we spend our money should be worship. How we spend our free time should be worship. Even the time we spend right now during this sermon should be some form of worship. It is the act of living our lives surrendered to God, which is a first and foremost important. I'm going to say that verse again to you. Jesus said that the greatest commandment was to worship. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And that is why we here at Moss Vale, we categorically believe that worship is important for us as a church. That is why it appears in our aims as a church that people would experience God through prayer, through worship, through friendship, through fellowship. Amen. Now, the second great commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. See, when we give our lives in surrender to God, we then do exactly what He wants us to do. Every time. We serve Him. We obey Him. Every time. What would God have us do? Scripture just says, love God, love others. Love God, love others. Because when we worship God, love for others naturally flows out from you, and that begins to bless them. That begins to build them up. When you live a life of surrender to God, you bless others because you will put their needs directly before your own. Praise God. You will encourage one another. Come on. How many people have we encouraged this week? You'll encourage one another. You will actually begin to care one for another. Somebody is going to forgive someone else. You're going to start protecting each other's needs. You're going to find it easy to serve one another. So understand this. Our worship builds up the body of believers who are round about us. And it is an encouragement. That is why the word edify means in some, that is what the word edify means in some translations. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Hallelujah. This is the essence that fellowship and works of service or ministry is really all about. Because hear this today. Hear me clearly. When you are a worshiping, or when we are a worshiping people, you actually fellowship and minister at the same time. You fellowship and minister at the same time. I would go as far to say this. Even by you being here every Sunday, you're encouraging someone else. Just by walking through the doors of that church building every Sunday, your presence is encouraging and it is building someone else up. Your presence at church or a prayer meeting or at a women's group or men's group tells them that God is important in your life, but it also tells them that they're important at the same time. Let me tell you this way. Whenever someone makes the effort to come to church or come to a prayer meeting, even though they've been working long hours, or they've been caring for someone else, or they have their own health or difficult circumstances that they are dealing with, they are such a blessing and encouragement to me. Total encouragement. Whenever someone makes the effort to come to church, even though their partner disapproves of it, they are such an encouragement to me. When I see you walk through the doors of this church, Sunday by Sunday, my spirit goes up a notch. My encouragement levels go through the roof. By you just being here, we minister one to another. And when we worship God, others in the church, listen to this, are going to benefit, because real worship works its way out practically in our life. And from that practicality, it impacts others in an incredibly positive way. It actually builds up the entire church of Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder, I'll just throw this in here, I wonder, is anyone upset with anyone in the church family this morning? Don't shout out if you are. It's a question. Are you here today and you're refusing to forgive someone else in the building right now? Wow. Because if that's you and you're here, you are not building others up in the church body. And I would go further. I would suggest that you can't really, really be worshiping God in the way that He requires you to. See, to worship God is to surrender your whole life to Him. To worship God is to become His instrument of blessing one to another. To worship God is to edify or build up His church through fellowship and ministry. And while our worship benefits those in our church family by building them up, it also has some benefits for those not in our church. If your Bible, open it up at Psalm 96. It's going to appear on the screen, but if you've got a Bible, it's good to open it up from time to time. Psalm 96 is a psalm which mentions specifically worship in the form of singing, proclamation, and giving offerings. Listen to the words of the psalmist. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord with splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Hallelujah. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for, oh my Lord. That was the saddest joy I have ever heard in my life. So we'll do that again. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for, amen. They will sing before the Lord, for He comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His truth. What is the benefit to the nations? To those who don't believe in God, when we worship, when we live our lives surrendered to God according to Scripture, they are brought in. They are brought in. They are brought into fellowship with God through reconciliation. They are brought into the church family through repentance. Through our worship, they find out about God and His glory and His salvation and the fact that God can be counted on. In short, they are brought into the family of God. And I wonder, does that kind of surprise some of you today? The fact that worship and witness are linked very closely. Understand this, worshiping people are always a witnessing people. Did you hear that? A worshiping people are always a witnessing people. You cannot be one without the other. It simply does not work. And I can't find the original source of this quote, but I love this quote. When the church gathers to worship, it also gathers to witness. And I believe that whenever you worship or whenever we worship, you are bearing a testimony to those people round about you. Back to Psalm 145, David said, "The Lord is gracious. The Lord is compassionate." Wow. "Slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." Church, today we praise God. We lift him high in our lives. Why? So that all may know about Jesus and come to faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus always linked worship and witness. We studied this over the last 10, 12 weeks or so through Matthew chapter 5. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." In verse 15, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl." No, sir. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house in the same way. "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven." Amen. In our worship, we set ourselves apart for God's service. We surrender our whole lives to Jesus and live for him. That is worship. That is worship. As much as we love coming in here and worshiping as an act, which we've done, and we've done beautifully today, it's not just coming down here on Sunday and singing a few songs. It's when we live daily, sold out for Jesus Christ. We live lives that are radically different from those around about us. Jesus says, your lives of worship are meant to be like lights, attracting people towards it. They are meant to challenge those who are brought in from the dark. They are meant to lead those people into a relationship with God so that they too might praise his name. So what happens when you worship? Does a tune or some music come out of your mouth? Or are people attracted, challenged, and led into relationship with God? Hear the word of the Lord today. Genuine worship impacts the world. It impacts the world. Pretend worship is hidden from the world. The question the Holy Spirit asked me was, "Hugh, how would you truly characterize your worship? Is it impacting or hidden?" I'm going to ask the guys and the worship team to come back. Let me close by saying this. Our greatest witness is the centrality of God in the life of the believer. Now hear what I'm saying before we sing together. Where passion for God is weak, zeal for evangelism will be even weaker. Have anyone amongst us today hidden our worship in church buildings rather than allowed it to shine brightly and impact the world? Dear ones, today, have we held our hands down because we are embarrassed by outward displays of love for the Savior? Has our worship become ineffective? If so, then also has our witness. Stand with me this morning, would you please? I wonder, are we hiding our worship in a lamp or within the walls of a building. Church, our worship needs to break out, listen to me, of the shackles which we have placed upon it. Worship is more than just singing some songs. It's living the life. It's living the life of service, the life of surrender, the life of obedience. And if we are prepared to do this 24/7, then our worship will impact those round about us. And those in the church will be built up, and those outside the church will be brought in. Father, in the name of Jesus, grant us a deeper revelation of who we are in Christ. May our lives be a worship lifestyle. Hallelujah. As much as this is an expression this morning of what we do, and it's great, and your name is greatly to be praised, Lord, when we leave this room, we still are worshipers. Cause us to live in spirit and in truth. Cause us to live in joy and freedom. And so as Gabriela leads us in this closing song, it's a song which gives you a moment to ponder what's been heard. And as you do so, you can respond in your own way to God by saying, God, forgive me. I have been so lax in the way I've lived my life. I've been so ungracious, so unforgiving, such a lack of servanthood, such a lack of this. And there's no condemnation for you, but an opportunity to present your body before him, a living sacrifice, and say, Lord, here I am today. Now, this day, not a future event, this day, I choose to worship you with my whole life. Amen.